Followers of Jesus are called to walk in righteousness, and that's not easy. It's challenging. It's difficult. Where do we find the strength to walk that out?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can like this video, drop a comment down below. If you have something that jumps out at you, we'd love to hear about it. I'm glad you're here for this one. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So in our last podcast, we talked about how to live righteously and not fake it. Mm-hmm. So we're not just putting on some outward form of righteousness. We talked about that begins by receiving righteousness as an identity, as a gift, and it's a whole conversation. It's an important one. It's probably the most important conversation a Christian can have, I believe.
Yeah.
Avoiding any kind of self-talk or even influence from others that tell me righteousness is based on a set of rules I follow or a list of objectives to complete, and the importance of taking in Scripture as our instruction in righteousness. But there's more to it. Now we get into this side of, okay, well, how do I then take the step? Okay, I've earned my, or I've not earned, I've owned, clarify that.
Yeah.
I have owned my identity as a righteous man, not because of what I've done, but because Jesus has given that to me as a gift.
Yeah.
Now, I want to take the step. I want to walk that. I have a desire to. So how do I walk that out? So we're going to look at four more things today, I think, that will help us in that process because it helps to have counsel from Scripture, obviously. What are my instructions for righteousness? Yeah. I think one of the first things we find that's so important, and I'm going to say these are in order today of importance. This number four on our list would be this: the importance of connecting with other people who are also wanting to walk in righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's important.
So good.
Because who you hang around is who you're going to become like. Mm-hmm. The voices that you're listening to will be the ones that shape the thoughts in your head. And that plays out in the people you hang with, or it plays out with the music you listen to.
Yeah.
It plays out with the podcast you listen to.
That's what I was going to say. The media you are consuming, the YouTube videos, the channels you're subscribed to, all this kind of stuff, the people you watch, how they talk. You are impressionable. You will begin to talk like the people you are around. You'll begin to pick up their language as well as the spirit that they carry themselves in.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to somehow leave the world and leave, you know, whatever work environment we're in, or go into the store like, I can't be around sinners. No, that's not the point. We're called to be in this world. We're called to be salt and light in this world. But the question is, who is it you're deeply connected with?
Yeah.
Who is it you are looking to become like, to listen to their counsel, to shape your life to be like? That is a question worth asking
considering. Good. Definitely.
Who am I looking to? Because that person you're connecting with will shape who you are and who you're becoming.
And the great thing that we're seeing here at Vertical is there is this true desire to live righteously, to lead their family righteously, to have a marriage that's righteous, to parent in a righteous manner. We're seeing this desire, and what we're seeing is these people who have this similar desire are gathering together in the groups here, and then they are becoming connected, and we're actually seeing life change actually happen because of the similar pursuits, because of the same vein in which we're walking in. And that's what it just fires me up, seeing this actually playing out and then the fruit of that happening in the lives of the families that are here at Vertical.
Yeah.
But it's that what we were talking about, the desire to live righteous is a good thing, but that done in isolation is always going to be tremendously more difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we need to find ourselves in the positions that get plugged in with others who have the desire and are on the path of living righteously, not earning their righteousness, but the people who in like manner receive the identity of, I have been made righteous. Yeah. And whenever you have other people saying that, reminding you about that, encouraging you in this, that's when you begin to grow up and down at the same time. Your roots go down and you grow up and fruit is produced in that.
Yeah. And again, we're talking about relationships that are a little bit different level. We're talking about deeper relationships, who you are connected to. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church. There were believers there in Corinth, but Corinth was a very ungodly city. Mm-hmm. And Paul writes with instruction about how do you live this out? And here's what his warning was. He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So this is a farming picture here of two animals wearing a yoke together, and you weren't to be paired up with someone that was not like you, because if you are, these two animals, if they were yoked differently, they would be fighting against one another. They would not be able to do the work that they're called to together. They'd be resisting one another. So Paul uses this picture, says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, those who are not pursuing righteousness, those who have no interest in what God says. He says, for what fellowship or union or sharing at the deepest levels of life has righteousness with lawlessness?
Yeah.
What friendship, what depth of
unity
could there be with someone who's wanting to follow the Lord and please God with someone who says, I don't even believe in the laws of God or righteousness? They can't. They can't have deeper connections. They might work together at the job. They might shop together in the store. But the idea of the two of them walking together and sharing at the deepest levels of life, that can't exist. He goes on and says, and what communion has light with darkness? Or what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So if you're wanting to really walk out righteousness in your life, then it's really essential to be involved with some other people who are walking in righteousness, who are seeking to honor the Lord, who are recognizing my identity is different because I've come to Jesus Christ. It's not in keeping a list of rules, and it's not in just continually condemning myself, but it is in persistently knowing my identity and then seeking to live that out in my life.
So good. Yeah. So as we're talking about pursuing righteousness with those that are around us, it's also very essential that we, in our individual selves, we would submit our whole being to doing righteousness, not in order to earn God's favor, but because of the gift we've received, we would submit ourselves to do righteousness, to live it out, to be a conduit of God's whole identity through us to others, right?
Yeah.
So we would submit our being, submit our body. This very popular today, that there's this idea where like, oh, if you have thoughts, probably just go with it, you know? Yeah. Something, for some reason inside of you, you're having these thoughts, so you should just go with it, you know? You think this way, be that. You feel this way, do that. You have an urge, that's good. Embrace that. There's the whole idea of listen to everything internally and act on that. That is not what the scripture plays out for the Christian flourishing life. You know?
And that's where so much confusion comes from today. You know, listen to your urge. That's who you are. That's your identity.
Yes.
That's your gender. That's your calling in life. Just listen to your urge. Listen to your appetite. Listen to your feelings. And whatever they say, that's who you are. That's your identity.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally your flesh calling out to you.
Yep.
And then the world says, unsurprisingly, listen to your flesh and do what it says, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, and you know, no one ever said, hey, I listened to my hurts, my wounds, my feelings, my sorrows, my depressions, my fears and anxieties. I listened to every one of those, and man, I'm a happier person as a result of it.
I feel awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So this calling to faith, this following Jesus, does something very different. We go back to step one here, basically. I've been given a new identity in Jesus Christ, and this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I listen to. Everything else I make get in line with that.
Yeah.
I make it the servant of who I am and my identity. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ who has been made righteous by faith. So that's who I am. Mm-hmm. Everything else that tells me a different message, every urge that says something different, I reject it and I make it conform.
Yeah.
So I don't give in to those. I don't yield to those.
Yeah. And that word submit is huge. That is the word that probably gets the most reaction these days. But it is that we are to submit, to place ourselves under the desires of God, that we would do what His desire is, right? So this passage here, Romans 6:13, it says this, and do not present your members, your body, as instruments of unrighteousness. So you can, as an individual, live your life presenting yourself in such a way to do unrighteousness, to sin. It says, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, which is who you are. Your identity is now one that is alive in Christ, not dead in your sins. So you present yourself and your members, that being your body, that mm-hmm. being your being,
yeah.
as instruments of righteousness to God. That is what the Christian life ought to look like.
Yeah.
Don't present your members as a tool for unrighteousness, but as an instrument of righteousness to God.
Yeah. So much of, again, the concept today or the teaching of the world is, well, whatever urge you have is you. So sometimes Christians will buy into this and they'll say, oh, well, I have this urge, this thought, this feeling, so that must be mm-hmm. what is I am.
Yeah.
You know, and they condemn themselves and they even act on it at times. Yep. But just because I have a temptation, does not mean that's not who I am.
Self. No.
That is not me.
No. That is literally just external temptation.
Exactly. It's coming from the outside. It's coming from my flesh. And so mm-hmm. I tell it, no, I have submitted my members to God, and I'm not going to listen to that. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. And just because I might have a greedy thought does not mean I'm a greedy man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a righteous man who had a greedy temptation.
Uh-huh.
Or a lustful thought, an angry uh-huh. thought, a bitter thought. Just because I had a bitter thought does not mean I'm a bitter man.
Yeah.
No, I'm a righteous man
yeah.
by faith in Jesus Christ.
So good.
And I had an angry thought, or I had a temptation toward bitterness.
Yeah.
And I can recognize it, I can repent of that, and mm-hmm. I can move on.
So
and I can
good.
Submit my members, every yeah. part of who I am, my mind, emotions, and will, and my body to do what is righteous.
So yeah,
it's important.
That's awesome.
All right, so the next piece in this, our number six today, would be taking the next step in this and then choosing to practice righteousness even in the smallest areas of life, the minutia, and even in the places that no one else sees. Now, this is where we get to really live it out,
yeah.
where we choose to say, okay, I'm gonna live out my righteousness now. I know who I am, and now I'm going to practice it. So therefore, I might be home alone, I'm still going to practice righteousness. It might be just a few pennies at the store I could, you know, not be honest about, but yeah. I'm going to practice righteousness. It could be a conversation in which I could choose to not tell the truth about a situation, but I'm going to choose to do what is righteous, even in the smallest areas of life, the smallest areas that someone mm-hmm. might not see
yeah.
even. I love this verse out of 2 Corinthians, where Paul's going to compare doing righteous things to seed.
Yeah.
Very small. Seed is very small.
Yeah.
So here he says in 2 Corinthians 9, may he who supplies seed to the sower, he's referring to God, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He compares righteousness with a seed, a sowing that you're planting. And every action, every word is another indication, another way you live out your righteousness. And so it's your way of planting seed. And that's practicing in the details of life.
Mm-hmm.
Every moment, every word, every action. When I'm driving down the road, when I'm in the store, when I'm having conversations, when I'm on my computer, when I'm on my phone, choosing every moment in the details, in the things that no one else sees, practicing righteousness.
That's so good. I've, again, been reading this book by E.M. Bounds, where he talks about the prayer closet a lot. He talks about praying in secret. And I'm reminded of the story, you know, that you have the Pharisee who prays out loud, and he prays boastfully, and he prays in front, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not such a terrible sinner like this guy over here, like literally calling someone, belittling someone in public, and man, I just have such a desire to, you know, or I just want to be so awesome. And there's this like arrogance that looks externally like, man, that guy has got it together, you know, that looks like the most righteous guy because he's publicly doing this holy act. But you know, the Bible's like, that actually is not a good thing because he's trying to project that he's one way, and then it counters it with the person who prays in secret.
Yeah.
And he says, the Father rewards those who pray in secret.
Yeah.
He rewards those publicly. Like that is what our life ought to look like in the details, in the small, in the away from everyone else. That's what your faith really is.
Yeah, that's so good because I'm just thinking, you know, seed, it's small to begin with, but when you plant it, you don't see it anymore
gone.
At all.
Might as well be gone. Yeah.
It's invisible.
Other people don't even know.
They have no clue that you planted any seed. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it should be.
That's so good.
Practicing righteousness should be that as well for us. I'm going to do it in the details. I'm going to do it where no one sees because this is who I am.
So good.
It's not just what I do. It's who I am.
Yeah. And you know, like driving around here in Ellis County, you know, you see these big fields where, oh, wow, it looks like there's corn growing over here. And you see that and you're just like, wow, that corn was just there all of a sudden is what it feels like, you know. But really, it's a farmer went out months back and they planted seed when no one was looking really, you know. And they watered and they, you know, the sun hit it and time played out. And then now here's the fruit that's produced from that. It's not the seed was planted and then done. Wow. Right. What do you know? Here's a fully, you know, grown thing.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of in the daily, in the small, in the shadows.
Yeah.
Letting your faith impact those areas impacts your whole life. So
it's true. It plays out in relationships. It plays out in marriage. It plays out in parenting. It plays out even on the job.
Yeah.
There's God blesses consistent, righteous living.
Yeah, that's so good.
It's good.
So our last one for pursuing righteousness is that we ought to be doing this with everything that is in us. Pursuing righteousness is not to be a compartmentalized little section of Sunday from 10:45 to noon or 9 to 10:15, you know. This ought to be something that this is everything in our lives. This, like you're saying, this is in our parenting, in our marriage, in our working, in our, you know, being, in our quiet, in our hobbies, in our whatever it is. This is to be something we work at like aggressively of not presenting our members as a tool of unrighteousness, but that we would say, God, use me with the righteousness you have put in my spirit, that you have made yourself one with me. I want to be like you in every area of my life.
Yeah.
Not compartmentalized, not passive faith, not just sometimes faith, but with everything that is in us.
Yeah. And it's not easy.
No.
It's work.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It requires discipline.
Yeah.
It requires sacrifice. It requires saying no to some things. It requires saying yes to some things.
Yeah.
And it is not easy at all.
Yeah. But the result of the life lived with everything in them to God is incredible.
Yeah,
it is that is what has shaped the world, you know, is the people who have submitted themselves to God. This passage from Hebrews 11:33, it says this, the people who are in the hall of faith, as it's been famously said about Hebrews 11, it says this, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, they obtained promises, and they stopped the mouths of lions. These are the ones that entirely said, God, I trust you and your plan over me and who I am. I trust you and your righteousness. I'm putting my faith in your plans, in your hands, and I want to live and see your glory shown here on this earth. I want to see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah. I love the fact that in that verse, there's four actions mentioned.
Yeah.
The two bookends are, on one end, they subdued kingdoms.
Incredible.
That's massive. That's like
huge.
Taking over a nation.
Yeah.
You know, battling in war, strategizing, forming a nation politically and socially. Mm-hmm. And they subdued it. They conquered it. They conquered an entire kingdom, not just one person, not just one thing, an entire kingdom.
Yeah.
At the other end of the bookend is they stopped the mouths of lions. People who wrestled and took down a lion, not one, but multiple, and they stopped their mouths from being able to devour them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here in the middle are two pieces. They worked righteousness and they obtained promises. Mm-hmm. Think those are all together in the same context?
Yeah.
Yes. So because if you're going to work righteousness in your life, you're going to obtain promises. it will require the same tenacity and longevity and war and battle and work as in subduing a kingdom. That's and it'll so take awesome. The same personal effort as it would to wrestle, manhandle, and stop a lion trying to devour you.
So awesome.
That's the kind of work we're called to. This is not easy.
No.
This is not simple.
No.
This is not short game. This is not once a week.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lifestyle given over to full tenacity to live out righteousness.
So
that is the final piece here, I think, in this whole discussion. Yeah. From identity to tenacity is how you work out righteousness in your life.
Fires me up.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, well, thanks for joining us. I hope that is helpful to you in the process of living out, working out righteousness in your life. So come visit us at Vertical, where we keep lifting him up and living him out.